प्रज्वलित नंद राम इज वर्शिप एज द इटर्नल होम ऑफ श्री कृष्ण एंड बलराम. Where we are sitting is on the top of Nandeshwar Mountain. It is called Nandabharan. The very place where Yashodamayi Nanda Maharaj raised with intimate ecstatic love Sri Krishna and Balaram. Lord Shiva, who is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam as Vaishnavaram Yatha Shambho, the greatest of all Vaishnavas, is always seeking to be the servant of the servant of the Lord. This is what it means to be a Vaishnava. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was in South India one time, so many people were coming to see him, great pundits, sadhus, gurus. He would ask them a simple question, "Are you a devotee of Krishna?" If they said yes, he had no time to see them. If they said, "I am the servant of the servants of Krishna," then he would all have all the time in the world to get their association. So Vaishnava means to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita when Srila Sanatana Goswami was being praised by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his glorious qualities. The devotee saw how Sri Sanatana Goswami was getting such unlimited mercy from the Lord. They became joyful, jubilant. They wanted to glorify him, to serve him. Srila Prabhupada said, "This is Vaishnava. A Vaishnava means, why is that mercy not coming to me? Why is that glorification not coming to me?" A Vaishnava, not Vaishnava, is the mentality where I am the enjoyer. Vaishnava is the mood where we want to see all other Vaishnavas uplifted, glorified, and receiving the special mercy of Sri Guru and Krishna. By this criterion, every day we should evaluate our own consciousness. Are we actually living according to the consciousness of a real Vaishnava? Vaishnavanam yathasham. Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. Therefore, what is his aspiration? To get the dust from the feet of the devotees of Krishna on his head. Lord Shiva wanted to participate in assisting Lord Krishna in his manifested pastimes in this world. Thus he performed long, long years of penances and austerities. And Krishna appeared to him and offered him the benediction. "What is it that you would like, Lord Shiva?" He said, "I only have one desire. Let me become a mountain or a stone in your holy land of Braja, so that the lotus feet of the gopis and the gopas would step on my head, and the dust of their feet would purify my heart. That is the only desire I have." So Krishna fulfilled a desire and gave him the benediction that he could be the Nandishwar mountain. We are here at Nandishwar. This mountain is the incarnation of Lord Shiva. It has five peaks representing the five heads of Lord Shiva. And it is here that Lord Shiva is forever meditating on the divine pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, Krishna Balaram, and forever relishing the nectar of the dust of the feet of Krishna Balaram and all the devotees upon his head. The history given in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is in the Jadu dynasty. There was a very great king, his name was Devamidha. He had two wives. One was a Kshatriya and one wife was a Vaishya. From the Kshatriya wife, he gave birth to a son of the name Surasena. From the Vaishya wife, he gave birth to a son of the name Parajanya. Surasena gave birth to Vasudeva, who we know later married Devaki, and gave birth to Sri Krishna, and through his other wife Rohini, to Sri Balaramji. Parajanya had five sons, Upananda, Abhinanda, Nanda, Sunanda, and Nandan. Of them, four had only daughters. But Nanda Maharaj had no children at all. At that time, they were living here on the Nandishwar Mountain at Nanda Bhavan in Nandagam. Narada Muni told King Parajanya that he should offer worship to Lord Narayan and to Lord Shiva in order to have a son. So it was here that he performed great, great acts of devotional service for the pleasure of Lord Shiva, so that his middle son, Nanda Maharaj, would have a son, and then he would have a grandson. In fact, the very same deity that Parajanya Maharaj worshipped is still here. It was installed by Vajranath in this place, and it is one of the five principal Mahadev deities of Braj Mandal, installed by Vajra. There is Gopeshwar Mahadev in Vrindavan, Kameshwar Mahadev in Kanyavan, there is Chakaleshwar Mahadev in Govardhan near Manasi Ganga, there is Bhuteshwar Mahadev in Mathura, and Nandeshwar Mahadev here in Nandagram. But still, Nanda and Yashoda bore no children at all. Upananda, Nanda, and the cowherd men used to meet at a place called Nanda Baita. It was their assembly hall of the gopas of Nandagram. And they would discuss the problems and how to improve their service to the Brijvasis. So they were thinking that Nanda and Yashoda are not having any son. Perhaps we should move closer to the holy river Jamuna. With this in mind, they packed up all of their paraphernalia upon the bullock carts driven by the oxen, and they moved to what is now, we visited a few days ago, Gokul Mahavan. And there, by the mercy of Lord Shiva to Parajanya, and by the mercy of Krishna to all of the living entities within this universe, Lord Sri Krishna was born. It is explained in the Shastras the different stages of a person's life. From birth until 5 years old is called Kumara. From 5 years old to 10 years old is called Purvanga. From 10 years old to 15 years old is Kaishora, and above 15 years old is Yauvana. Now Krishna, because he was a super excellent personality, and because Yashoda Mai fed him the best essence of all milk, as Dinabandhu Prabhu so nicely explained at Utkala in Mahavan, what kind of milk he would drink, and what kind of a super excellent personality Krishna was. Therefore, he went through these various stages more rapidly than an ordinary person can do. He, from his birth until he was 3 years and 4 months old, he passed through his Kumara age. From 3 years and 4 months to 6 years and 8 months, he passed through his Poganda age. His Kumara age was spent in Gokul Mahavan. after Trinavarta, Bhutana, Sankatasura attacked Krishna, after the big Arjuna trees fell down by Krishna's transcendental leela, Upananda and the other cowherd men were thinking, Gokul is not a safe place. We should move away from here. So during his Pokhanda age, from 3 years and 4 months to 6 years and 8 months of Krishna's age, Krishna lived in the Vrindavan area, Chatikar, Vrindavan, and various other places. When Krishna was 6 years and 8 months old, he moved back to Nandagaon. And here he began his Kaishora age. As a Pokhanda age person in Vrindavan, he was taking care of the calves. When they moved back to Nandagaon, Krishna was given charge of the cows. This is a very, very wonderful festival that actually takes place on the 28th of October. It is called Gopashtami, where Krishna is first given the responsibility of taking care of Sri Nanda Maharaj's 900,000 cows. Krishna divided these cows up into 108 different herds or groups, each one according to their color or according to their qualities or according to the shapes of their heads. He divided them up. And Krishna knew each one of these 900,000 cows personally by name. When Krishna would take them out to the pasture, each cow was thinking, Krishna loves only me. Krishna's affection is so much to me. How he is always glancing upon me. How he is always calling out my name. This is the infinite power of Krishna to show love to every living entity. Krishna can make every living entity feel like I am so special. I am receiving such mercy. There is a tree we will be going to later, hopefully, called Terakadamba. Krishna would climb up that tree just before the sun would set. And he would play his flute to call all the cows back from the pastures to join him to come back to Nandagaon, his home. And Krishna would call out the names of the cows. Each cow would hear her own name being called. And Krishna would keep track. Just like we have counting beads for our rounds, Krishna had counting beads for the herds of cows. So he would make sure every single cow of the 900,000 would be turned. And if there was one that was missing, he would start calling their names and going through the pasture searching for them. Hare Krishna. If only we could join that herd of cows. Srila Prabhupada was Krishna's cowherd boy, trying to bring us all back home, back to God. All his lost, Krishna's lost devotees. So Krishna would call each cow, and each cow, when she would hear her name, her tail would raise, she would start mooing. Krishna would be very, very happy, the cows would be very happy, and all together they would come back to Sri Nandagaon. But what about the gopis, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj? They would be here in Nandagaon from the time Krishna left in the morning to the time he returned in the evening. They were immersed in the ecstasy of suffering due to separation from Krishna. A moment seemed like 12 years or more. Just as Krishna swallowed the forest fire in the Ishikatabi forest, similarly, when he would come back to Nandagaon, he would extinguish the burning forest fire of separation that all the devotees here in Nandagaon were feeling, as Krishna and Balaram would be out all day. The only thing that kept them alive was singing the names of Krishna and narrating to each other in beautiful poetry and song the wonderful, wonderful pastimes that Krishna would perform the day before or the day before. When Krishna would return on the outskirts of Nandagaon, Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj would be waiting for him. Srimati Radharani would have prasad for him. Lalita, Visakha and the other gopis would have so many gifts for him. Krishna would come running into the arms of his mother and father, and they would lift him up and bring him back to this place, Nanda Bhavan. They would give him bath. They would cook wonderful, wonderful bhoga and offer it to Krishna Balaram. They would decorate him with garlands and jewels and fresh new cloth. They would have a nice bed and they would put him to sleep. And what he did at night, they did not know. From Nandagaon, he would send signals to the hill on the top of Barsana, and there would be all sorts of secret arrangements being made of where they would meet tonight. Nandagaon is a very, very holy place. There's a beautiful story of how Lord Shiva once came to this place because he wanted the darshan of little child Krishna. So Lord Shiva approached the house and Yashoda Mai saw Lord Shankar. He had ashes on his body. Sometimes he had bones on his body. He had snakes as jewelry. So she was thinking that this sadhu, he will scare my little Krishna with all these snakes and ashes. So she told him that, I'm sorry, but you cannot see my son Gopal. So Lord Shiva went into the forest and began to meditate. Krishna, knowing that his great devotee had been refused from coming to meet him, he began to cry. Krishna cried and cried and cried. And Yashoda Mai, she gave Krishna everything, nice sweetmeats and nice milk and nice affectionate words and embraces, but Krishna continued to cry. Nothing would stop him from crying. So Yashoda Mai was thinking, perhaps it is because I offended this sadhu that Krishna is not happy. So she sent someone out to the forest to get this yogi. And Lord Shiva returned. When Lord Shankar came, he offered his prostrated obeisances in utter humility and surrender to the boy Krishna. And Krishna began to smile. What an effulgent, beautiful, ecstatic smile that radiated from his moonlight face. Yashoda Mai was so grateful to Lord Shiva for making Krishna so happy. She asked Lord Shiva, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? And Shri Mahadev replied, please just let me see your child Gopal and give me the remnants of his foodstuff. So from this day, it is the tradition of this temple that whatever is offered to the deities, it is brought directly to the murti of Nandishwar Mahadev to take next. And then that Mahaprasad is distributed to the people in general. The deities on the altar here, on our left is Srimati Radharani. There is then Yashoda Mai. Next to Mother Yashoda is Lord Krishna. On his left is Lord Balaramji, Nanda Maharaj, and on our far right is Sudama and Madhu Mangal, two of Krishna's loving cowherd boyfriends who are here in Nandagaon. There are unlimited stories of Krishna's divine pastimes that took place here in Nandagaon. It is from Nandagaon that Krishna would go to Vrindavan, to Vamsivat, to Vandiravan, and play with his friends, and have wonderful, wonderful pastimes with gopis. It was here at Nandagaon that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda exhibited the ecstasies of parental affection. Krishna remained in Nandagaon until he was 10 years and 7 months. from that time he entered into the yovana period, or youth. And that was when Akura personally came here. There is just close by to here a footprint on top of a small hill. This is Lord Shiva's head. Krishna standing upon this hill was, his lotus foot was so pleasing to Lord Shiva that he melted in transcendental ecstasy, and the footprint of Krishna went into his head and made a nice, nice marking. Akrura, when he came, he saw such footprints of Lord Krishna and fell on the ground, rolled in the dust. Srila Prabhupada explains, this is how you enter Vrindavan. Not that you buy a ticket on Indian railways, or not that you fly by Indian airlines. You cannot enter Vrindavan by any material arrangement. You may physically enter into the area of Mathura Mandal, but Vrindavan, to understand it, can only come when Krishna reveals the holy dham to our hearts. Vishaya chatiya khabe shudha bhimana khabe hamare ko sri Vrindavan. Only when we are free of the desire to enjoy material enjoyment, only when we have no more false ego, will Krishna reveal what is Vrindavan. But how to give up the ego? Akura taught us to roll in the dust of the feet of Krishna and his devotees. To roll in the dust of the feet of Krishna and devotees is not just a ritual, it is a state of consciousness of utterly humbling oneself in such an intimately subordinate position to the Lord of his devotees, as the servant of the servant of the servant. That is what Akrura did. And therefore, when he came here to Nandagaon and announced that Kamsa is inviting Krishna Balaram to wrestling match, it was from here in Nandagaon that Krishna left for Mathura and then for Sri Dwarkadham. Nandagaon is the place where Krishna lived when he traveled to various parts of Braja to perform his most loving and elevated pastimes with gopis. It is the place where he and Lord Balaramji would go out from to perform his wonderful Sakyaras pastimes herding the cows. It is a supremely worshipable holy place that we have the ultimate fortune of being today. Srila Prabhupada in 1971, who brought us here to Nandagaon, Varsana, Govardhan, Mahavan, and he tried to inculcate in our hearts what we should pray, what we should try to strive to attain when we are here. And that is the mood of sweet, sincere surrender to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Gauranga. So we have two very exalted souls. There is so much more that could be said, that I am not even the dust in the feet of His Holiness Dhanadhar Maharaj and His Grace Dhanadhar Prabhu, who are trained, seasoned, authorized Brijvasis. I would like them to kindly speak. Thank you very much. Srinanda Bhagavan ki, Srinanda Bhagavan
dhanam ki. I'd like to clarify one thing that His Holiness Radhanath Swami has said. He said that I was a seasoned Vrijavasi, but His Holiness Radhanath Swami is my dham guru. This is actually a fact. I was here serving Srila Prabhupada, but I wasn't visiting the holy places. And then Maharaj took me. Actually, the first time I went to Varsana, or is with His Holiness Radhanath Swami. So, I am speaking like a student before my teacher. So this is a very wonderful place, Nandagram, which is the center of the activities of Brajagama. If Braja is like a lotus, then the center is Nandagram. And as His Holiness Radhanath Swami was explaining, Krishna would go out every day to do His various activities. One devotee here had asked me, well, how did he go every day from here to Vamsi Vat, Bandiravan, and then come back in the same day? But this is Krishna's energy. In the Bhagavad Gita it says, Mamatma Bhuta Bhavana, that Krishna's determination is a fact. If Krishna is walking someplace and it's a long distance, and he thinks in his mind, oh, it's so long, I am tired, I wish I was there, then automatically he's there. Because this yoga-maya potency is serving him. And if it's a very beautiful place, and Krishna is thinking, I don't want to get there yet, it's so wonderful, then it would take so long to get there. So it's all serving the Dham. The Dham is a manifestation of Balaram. And Balaram is the servitor Godhead. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains that Balaram serves Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. So Balaram is manifesting the Holy Dham. By His mercy, it is serving Krishna very perfectly. So Krishna would go out in so many loving sentiments. Dinabandhu Prabhu quoted yesterday a wonderful verse, and the last line was, Prema Pumartha Mahan, that the greatest wealth, the greatest goal is this prema, this intensified perfect love for Krishna. So that love is flowing here from the residence of Vrindavan to Krishna in so many different ways. He's enjoying. So here is Nandagram, and I think we'll go on the roof and see the different places. It's so wonderfully situated. You see on the other side was Barsana. That's on one side. What direction is that, Dinabandhu Prabhu? That's this way. And Jawat, which was the home of the in-laws, as Radharani so-called got married to Abhimanyu. Which direction is that? That's the other side. So 6 months out of the year, Srimati Radharani would spend with her in-laws, and 6 months in her parents' home, and there would be so many pastimes. Just like from Jawat, Radharani would come every day, as Radhanath Swami said, there's so many pastimes. She would come every day on this path to cook for Krishna. As was explained before, she got a benediction from Dwarvasa Muni that whatever she cooks, the person would be healthy and long-lived. So she was cooking here, her kitchen was here, and there were descriptions of those pastimes. Mother Rohini was here, and she was in charge of the kitchen, and there were descriptions how Radharani would come every day, and how much Mother Yasoda would love her so much, and that there were 100 stoves. The kitchen is right here. When we came out of the darshan area, that was the kitchen, and there were 100 stoves. What are those type of stoves called? Chula. Is that right? 100 stoves. And Radharani was in a very, very, so many ecstatic moods. Giriraj Swami yesterday was explaining that there were different levels of prema bhakti. So one level of prema bhakti is called radha. And radha means that when you have intense love for Krishna that's so intensified and wonderful, then in separation from Krishna, the greatest happiness becomes the greatest distress. And in union with Krishna, the greatest unhappiness becomes the greatest happiness. The example given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Radha was Maharaj Parikshit. He was associating directly with Krishna. How was he associating with Krishna? Because he was intensely hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Krishna in recorded message, and he was listening to Krishna so intently. And he was not eating for 7 days, not drinking. Even if for 2 days or 1 day you're not eating, there's so much pain. You don't get water for 5 hours. It's so much difficulty. But because he was associating with Krishna, and he was in that mood of Radha, then the hunger and the thirst, that actually was his happiness, his greatest happiness. And the example is also given of Srimati Radharani. When she was in Jala, and sometimes she would be prevented by her mother-in-law, Jatila, from coming to see Krishna in her mood of separation. Her friends would get lotus flowers, and they would smear on the lotus flowers thick sandalwood pulp, and they put her on that to cool her down in her mood of separation from Krishna, but immediately it would dry up, and all the lakes and coons would dry up. But when she was here in Nandagram, and she was cooking for Krishna in the kitchen in the middle of the summer, in the Guinness Book of World Records, the hottest place on earth, recorded temperature in civilized place, was Govardhan Hill. So you can imagine in Braj, in Vrindavan, how hot it gets. Even this summer, Keshava Bharti Prabhu, I was calling him on the phone, and I called from Govardhan, and he was looking at the thermometer, because he was doing the service of construction. He said, "Maharaj, it's 57 degrees centigrade and it's in the shade." So Radharani was cooking here with 100 stoves. She would come every morning, and it was described before she would cook, she would take off her jewelry. We mentioned before that everything about Srimati Radharani is an expression of love for Krishna. So she's dressing just for the pleasure of Krishna. And it's all filled with her love, but she took off her, it's called alankara. There's two types of decorations for the lady. One is called alankara, that is the jewelry, and one is called avaram, the dot, and the sindhu. So she took it off, but still he's so beautiful, and she came in the kitchen. But because Krishna was right there, and she was cooking for Krishna, in her mood of Rav, she was feeling middle of the summer. So she was feeling, oh, so cool. This is so much pleasure. So these deep sentiments of love. And Radhanath Swami was explaining how a crow came. So if you're on the roof, you'll actually see quite a direct and big road. And that was the road. We cannot even think of that road. We can think of that pastime. We sometimes see the painting where Akura and Krishna is taking Krishna and Balaram on the chariot and the residents of Vrindavan. Even though Srimati Radharani would be very careful about expressing her affection and love for Krishna, but in desperation, she tried to get up on the chariot to speak to Balaram, to have him stop. "Please, do not take Krishna." we see those sentiments of love expressed here. And that sentiment of love, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So there's two ways that one enjoys. Just like when you're having a meal. The preparations must be cooked expertly. And then you can enjoy. And there must be a variety of preparations. So Krishna's love is like that. The love of the residents of Vrindavan is perfect love. It has all the components of perfect love. Just like Jiva Goswami explains this term rasa. He says rasa means when affection for Krishna is perfected. So he explains that just like when you take sweet rice, the ingredients must be just perfect. When you have good sweet rice, the milk is cooked down the right amount. There's not too much sugar. There's not too little sugar. It's not cooked too much or cooked too little. The amount of rice, the amount of milk, and then it's perfect. And if someone is a real good enjoyer, he's called a connoisseur. And if one is not an expert enjoyer, whatever food you give him, he will like. But one is a connoisseur, and you give him and he'll put his finger on the grain, and if it's too hard or too soft, there will be distaste. Or if the milk is not cooked enough. So Krishna is a connoisseur of love. Krishna is a supreme enjoyer and we want to please him. But our offering of love has to be perfect. He's a connoisseur. In Sanskrit the word is called, he's rasika. He's a connoisseur. Our love must be perfect. And that's why our mood is also dasa, 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 anudasa. Because our love is not perfect, but our goal is to please Krishna. But if we serve the devotee whose love is perfect, we can enhance her service. This is the mood of Vrindavan, that Srimati Radharani's love is perfect. Directly, if we try to please Krishna by our love, it is not possible. But if we enhance her service, if we assist her service and enhance her love to Krishna, then Krishna becomes pleased and then also we become satisfied. So Krishna enjoys this perfect love and that's here in Vrindavan. And not only does he enjoy this perfect love, but he enjoys so many varieties of love. He enjoys the parental love. He goes out at night with the gopis, but yet he's coming back during the day. We can even think ourselves, what is real enjoyment? It's not sensual experience. It's love. There's affection, and we experience affection in different ways. Sometimes we experience maternal affection, and there's friendship, and sometimes we have a good servant. So this is what Krishna is enjoying. These wonderful varieties of love. And he's also enjoying them indirectly. For example, Dinabandhu was singing this song. I don't even want to say it because then the Nandake Ananda Bhaya Jai Kaneya love. This was Nanda Maharaj's love. What type of love was he enjoying here? He was giving charity. He was enjoying, this is actually mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There's seven indirect rasas. And what does an indirect rasa mean? The indirect rasas mean that you're enjoying your particular feeling of love indirectly through another emotion.
For example, two friends, they start to joke with each other. And they're laughing together. But what are they enjoying? They're enjoying their friendship. But laughter is such an emotion that it takes a flavor of itself. So similarly, in this song, what is Nanda Maharaj doing? Nanda Maharaj is giving charity. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's described that one type of rasa or relationship is called chivalry. And there's one type of chivalry which is called dhanavir. You're given charity. So he was actually experiencing intense parental affection. Or he was offering Krishna intense parental affection, but indirectly through giving charity. He was experiencing his love for Krishna by, what is it, Dinabandhu? Hati Deer? Gora Deer? He was giving elephants, horses, but he was giving love. And Krishna was enjoying. Krishna's enjoying all these types of perfected love. But the nature of love is such that if you give love to Krishna or you give love to someone, you enjoy the same love. Just like Krishna's mother, she's serving Krishna and Krishna's enjoying what? Her maternal love. If you serve, if you have a young child and they're enjoying the mother's love so much, but the mother's also enjoying the same love. The only difference is the child is enjoying the love as the object of love. And the mother is enjoying the love as the subject of love. But it's the same love. This is the Ladini Shakti. It gives Krishna pleasure, but the devotee enjoys the same pleasure, except the devotee's pleasure is greater. Because there's more pleasure being the lover than the beloved. And therefore we understand that Krishna himself, to be perfect in his enjoyment, he has to take the position of the devotee to have the full experience of love. So this is our movement. And this is what Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are here to give. They want us to come to the platform where our love can be so pure, our love can be so perfect, that love can actually give pleasure to Krishna, which is actually the goal of life. Now this love, and I call vatsalya rasa, is different moods of love. So the flavor of love that Krishna is enjoying from his parents, it's called anugraha. It's mercy. There's different types of love. And they have different flavors. So Krishna is enjoying the mood of his mother, and his mother's mood is, oh my child, he needs me. See, the mood of a servant is different. The flavor of a servant's love is, he is my maintainer and protector. That's what he's enjoying. When we think of Guru Bhakti, what is our Guru Bhakti? That without my spiritual master, without his mercy, I will die. And that's Kunti's mood. She's trying to experience that love of dependence because she's the servant of Krishna. And therefore she wants all the calamities and difficulties so she can be in that mood of dependence and experience that love that Krishna, you are my maintainer and protector. But the mood of the mother is, I am your maintainer and protector. Without me, you will die. So Krishna is also enjoying that love of his mother. And therefore, to enjoy that love, then Krishna must always be in need. And Mother Yasoda can never see Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj can never see Krishna as God. Because if he's God, then what is his need? And how can they give him their mercy? So Krishna always covers them from this conception. So sometimes here, they have big assembly. And they start to tell Nanda Maharaj, well, Krishna killed this demon. And Krishna killed this demon. And Krishna did this. We think that he must be God. And then Nanda Maharaj says, Krishna, God? He doesn't even tell the truth. He can't even control his senses. He's going to all the houses and he's stealing things and he's telling lies. Krishna being God? When Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill, so we heard the pastime. He was holding up the hill and all the residents of Vrindavan. So also Krishna was enjoying the love of the devotees, because all the residents of Vrindavan were looking there at Krishna in love. But what was Mother Yasoda doing when Krishna was lifting the hill? She was feeding him sweet rice. Thinking if he doesn't, he's lifting over downhill, but she's thinking, if he doesn't get his meals, he will get sick, he's weak. And they told Nanda Maharaj, your son is lifting the hill. But what did Nanda Maharaj think? He thought maybe the cowherd boys were holding up the hill with their sticks. Or maybe it was some demigod. So Krishna would experience and taste the intensified perfection of the devotees. Also, Krishna would leave here every day. So we can imagine what it must have looked like when the palace was here and the beautiful pass. And Krishna would go from here every day. We know that he would go to Govardhan Hill every day. About 8 or 9 o'clock he would leave. And then the residents of Vrindavan, as Krishna was leaving, they would experience such intense affection for him, and it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami, which is now being translated by the BBT, by our godbrother Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, that when Krishna would go out to the forest, then his mother and father, every day he would come, and all the gopis, they would also be looking at Krishna. There's even one story where, there's so many stories. Krishna was going out, and his mother and father would run after him. They couldn't bear his separation. And they would say, are you sure that you have your lunch? And maybe you can wear shoes. There's thorns out there. And then they would go back, and Nanda Maharaj would run out and say something else, and then Yasoda would come out, and Krishna would be okay, and then Balaram, he's the older brother, so there's a type of friendship where you're a little older, and you have the mood that I'm the protector. So he would say, hey, Balaram, you make sure he's okay. And finally, 6-7 times, Nanda and Yasoda would come out, and finally Krishna would have to say, I am a cowherd boy. My dharma is to take care of the cows. You please let me do my service. And he would go out every day and come back and festivals at night. So this is the center. Also, Radhanath Swami was telling also a story when we were walking from Varsana, but I'm not sure everybody heard it. But he was explaining how the communications would go. that because you can see from Nanda Bhavan, you can see Varsana, so they would put a candle. And Radharani would have a candle of some kind of light on top of the Varsana, and Krishna here on top of Nanda Bhavan. And then he would cover it with his hands. And then he would have, this was the original Morse code. He would lift it up and go dot, dash, dash, dot, dash, dash, dot, dash, dot. And it, you know, I will meet you in this place at night. Krishna, if you go to Tirthakadamba, this place is so beautiful. It's in between Jawat and Nanda Bhavan. And Krishna would go there every morning with the cows, and Radharani would come by in the path, and they sometimes would cross, and this Kadamba tree, Krishna would like the Kadamba tree because it was white and has a yellow flower, which is the color and fragrance of Radharani. And Krishna, when he would call the cows, sometimes he would call them by name, but also his flute. The sound of the flute would enter into the ears and have a particular sound for each cow. And the mala that he had, His Holiness Radhanath Swami was explaining the mala. It was called money mala. It was made out of jewels. And he would be counting. Srila Rupa Goswami there, he had written the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Uttara Nilamani there. He would like to meditate on that place. Why? All Krishna's pastimes are in Nandagram. Because in the day he would call the cows, but in the evening he would go there and he would call the gopis. So he would meditate on all these pastimes and how Krishna was enjoying the perfect love of all the different devotees. And with so many emotions that would bring it perfect. I remember when the first parikrama I came, Radhanath Swami was explaining sometimes there would be fear. So Krishna was in danger. So what would happen to a mother when her son was in danger? They would experience great fear. But what happens to the maternal affection when the mother sees the child is in danger? It increases. So when the mother becomes fearful, oh, what will happen to my child? The love increases. And there's also actions that increase the love. For example, when there's a servant and he sees his master, if the disciple sees the guru, then he pays obeisances. But paying obeisances is not a physical action. It's an emotional experience of the love, which increases the love. Just like when you're in kirtan, you can stand still and try to get the ecstasy, but the ecstasy has to be released and then you dance. But the dancing is an expression of the love and increases the love. So similarly, in all the different relationships, there's different actions that increase the love. For the servant, he pays the obeisances. He also waits for the order. But for the parents, their love is giving blessings to the child. Or Mother Yasoda, out of love, she offers her breast to give Krishna milk. Or sometimes out of love, even chastises. So with all these activities and exchanges and pastimes, the love of the residents of Vrindavan become perfect, and Krishna's enjoying that love perfectly. And the devotees are also enjoying that love. So as Radhanath Swami said, there's many pastimes in many places. So I think we should stop now. There's many other places and other people to speak. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Welcome all of you here to Nandagram. I spent a good deal staying here in this place. I'll show you that place later on. So you're all welcome here to Nandagram. I hope you're happy here. So as you entered this temple here, you saw Nanda Baba, Yasoda. On the other side, this is Balaram. If you look closer, you can see he's a little bit taller, and his eyes are a little reddish from drinking brandy. And on Maya's side, Yasoda Maya's side, this is Nanda. He's on Maya's, Mother Yasoda's side. And you'll notice that they're dressed almost exactly alike. Actually, not almost, they are dressed exactly alike. Same dress, same crown, same flute, everything. So, the Vrishbhaji explained that just like with Krishna and Balaram, they're almost the same age. There's hardly any difference. Few days. Srimad Bhagavatam describes how they both began crawling together. They both began to take their first steps together. Gargacharya did their name-giving ceremony together. Their mothers were enjoying their teeth coming in together. It's almost the same age. So when people have twins, you've seen, they always like to dress them exactly alike, isn't it? So with this bar, they dress them just like their twins. Huh? Other reason is, if they dress them differently, then Balaram and Krishna, they both start fighting. No, I want Balaram's star. No, I want Krishna's star. No, I want Kaniya's flute. No, and then they just fight. So they dress that way. They just dress them exactly the same. They don't fight. And you see also here on the very far left side is Srimati Radharani. And we heard that she came here for cooking. So how? And we heard that she got some benediction from Durvasa. So what happened was Durvasa Muni came here to Braj. And he was a very big Muni, and Rishi had big, this hair piled, that we call Jata. He was a big Jata, so all just twisted and turned with tree resin and so many things. All the ladies would go, ooh. So he had big beard, carrying this wooden thing for chanting his japa, very fierce looking sadhu. So all the gopikas, they saw this heavy sadhu, very fierce looking sadhu. All the gopikas, they ran away. Except for Srimati Radhika. And she told Baba, she made a nice place for him, and said, sit down, Baba, I'll just make something for you. And then just like we see in the village, the little girls, they make a little, they take some clay, they make a little chula out of clay, a little stove out of clay, and then she has little clay pots and pans. At least one Vrishbhaji told me, I've heard the story different ways, and she cooked very nicely, but one Vrishbhaji here, he told me, one Purana story, is that actually she just made everything clay, and everything was made from clay. She just made little puris and laddus and everything she just made from clay, like that. And then she brought this clay to Durvasmuni. And she tried to feed him. Durvasmuni said, where? How did you give this dirt to me? And she said, come on, let's take one, that's good. Come on, let's take one. So somebody ate one of those sweets. And it was so sweet and divine. He never tasted such a sweet like that. So he just automatically came out of his heart. Those benedictions, they come from the heart. They're very, very powerful. Just like we see in Indian culture, the little children, they come, they touch the feet of their mother and father, their grandfather, automatically the grandfather, just out of his heart, Aishmanda. That power, that comes from the heart. So just out of his heart, he just became so happy, he was so lovely. Whatever you cook, that will be just as sweet as nectar, and whoever tastes your cooking, he will never get any disease. Now of course we know the Vrishbhasis, they love Nandanandan more than their own child. And the parents are always very, very worried about the children. So you don't know so much. No? When we come from West, you know, our mothers and fathers, oh, you're not taking to India. There get so many diseases there. No, you can't take your child. You know, they get so worried. Our mothers and fathers, our relatives, they all get, no, how can you take them? I don't know, maybe in Bombay they're worried. You're going to this dirty place, aren't you? So, just like down here, I didn't know anything was going on. I went to South Africa, and when we were in the, what happened was my friend told me that in Kartik, I'm going to send my son to stay with you for 6 months. He's old, old friend of mine, I admit. So, just before that Kartik, I went to South Africa, and I got on the plane, because I'd been living here at Nandagram in Brindacore. So I didn't know anything was going on, and I got on the plane, and all of a sudden this BBC newsreel came out, and they're talking about plague.
And when I came back, I found that actually what happened was everybody outside in India got plagued by material desires and they couldn't come for cutting. So they didn't send their son there, so it was so brilliant. So they, all of these bodies, you know, they heard this benediction, they insisted that Radharani, she has to come here every day and cook for it. No. So she comes here every day and she cooks. And we heard how this hill is incarnation of Lord Shiva. First of all, we heard, it's very important because this is the month of Damodar, so after those trees came crashing down, then Upananda, who's the older brother, he called a meeting about the government. He said, this place isn't safe. First of all, this Putana came here, then this world, this Tilaravata came here, so many demons have come here to disturb us, and now these trees fell down without any cause. This place is not safe, we should move from here. So as Maharaj explained, Krishna was, that was Kumar, then, you know, just after Kumar there comes, or even in between, Kumar and Pogonda, that in between, we see the little boys. They are very, very curious. Is it always asking questions? You see, all the mothers are smiling. They know. So they packed up all of their belongings on bullock carts, and they put all the women and children on the bullock carts, and all the cowherd men were all around with all their little bows and arrows, and all around the 900,000 cows, it looked like ocean of milk. And when the cows were going over the hills, it looked like just like the waves in that ocean river. So they were sitting on one cart, and Krishna Balarama, they were both sitting in their laps. So Lala, he was just asking so many questions. He said, oh Maya, oh Maya, where is this tree that's got a beard? You can't see Vriksha, just keep dying here, Maya. So Mother Yasoda looked, oh Lala, that's the Vetrix, that's the banyan tree. We saw so many banyan trees, it's like beard. He said, oh Maya, where is this tree that's leaf has got a tail? Where is this tree that you can't see Vriksha, just keep tapping with blue tree, Maya? So she looked, oh Lala, this is people tree. You've seen, like in front of Prabhupada Samadhi. Then, they went a little further, they heard some sound. So Maya, what is that sound? So then Mother Yasoda, she listens. She says, oh Lala, that's the peacock. And what does the peacock say?
Keka! Keka!
Ke Radha Ka Krishna. Peacock is calling Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. Although Rupa Goswami explains, there's a deeper meaning. Peacock is calling K. You know K? It's like when Sanatana Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Dasa Swamiya Ghat in Benares. And he sat down and he said, everyone thinks I'm a great pundit. And they accept me as a very learned fellow, but I don't know who I am. Please, K. Ami. Who am I? This was his K. Ami. K means who? What is the question? Peacock is asking the question, K. Who is it? This Krishna, he's Rasaraj, he's an ocean of Ras. Maharaj is saying, he's a Kila Rasa Mita Murti. Huh? He's ocean of Ras, who is it? K. Who is it who can possibly reciprocate with this great ocean of Ras that is Rasaraj, see Krishna? And the answer is coming, Ka. It is only she, Sri Radha, who is ocean of Mahabha. It is only she who can reciprocate with that great ocean of love, Ras, Sri Krishna. Of course we know when this Rasaraj and this Mahabha combine, then we have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the combined form of that Rasaraj and Mahabha. Of course I have a friend who works in the Samadhi, Nehru Chutta, he tells me what the peacocks are saying is, So then they went a little further, and Lala said, Oh Maya, what is this little yellow fruit? What is this little yellow fruit? And Maria said, she looked herself, this is buttery fruit. In Hindi we call it bhair. But in Sanskrit that is called badri. This is like now you see, all the flowers are there in this badri tree. Very soon the little yellow fruits will come. So this way they passed their time coming to pass our Krishna Balaram temple to Chatikaya. Later they came here. So then on the side, I don't know if you saw, here's Nandeshwar Mahadev, and we heard how this hill is incarnation of this Nandeshwar Mahadev. So as soon as they came here, they were heard briefly. I will tell you in detail this faster. Lord Mahadev, he thought, now Nandadanda has come here, let me go and get his darshan. So one day he was coming up the path, he was playing his dhamro. So my daughter, she came outside, what is wrong with that? And she saw some yogi is standing there, whole body is covered with rock, ash, and sand, the snake, the tool, Makini, all these things. So she saw that she nearly climbed the door. And then she was saying, oh, Maria, I came just to get darshan of your Lama. No. Don't let me go to the Lama Dharjaya. If he sees you, he comes down and you go away. So, no, I came from very far away. I came from Kailash just to get darshan of your Lama. No, Dharjaya. He sees you, then he comes down and please go away. No, Maria, I came from very far away. Please let me see. The mother said, she came outside and said, look, I know you, Babas. You just came here for one thing. Now you just take some roti. That's all you came here for anyway. You just take some roti and you please go away. So the Lord Shiva, he became nirash. You know, nirash. Without asha. We have anyone here named asha? You know, asha means hope. So Lord Shiva, he became nirash, without hope, hopeless and helpless. So he went over here in the forest to see that from above the roof. That is called Asheshavan, because he's Ashesha. He was having the king of all hopes. What is that hope? He was hoping to get darshan of Nandalala. Just like we're all, why are we coming out here? Why are we sitting in the hot sun so long? Why are we doing all this walking around barefoot, walking through the mud even sometimes, sitting in the mud? We all have asha, we have hope somehow that we'll get to see Nandalala. So he was just sitting there with this great hope in his heart. So he went, Lala, he knew Vaishnavara was a shampoo, my greatest devotee has come to the darshan of you, and I couldn't say, hey, that's for you. He began to cry, and Maria told her, she did everything. She tried this and tried that, and so many things she tried. All the gopis came, and tried everything. One old gopi was there, she said, somebody has put a nazar. In Hindi we say nazar. English we say evil eye. Somebody has put evil eye on your nazar on your love. Who came here today? Somebody says, we all went home. Upananda was here and Bhaspana Maharaj, he came in the morning and, oh, one yogi came! He had rock all over his whole body and sand and bichu, all these things. I just gave him some roti and said, oh, that yogi has put nazar on your lava. Where did he go? I don't know. So then the gopi, they spread out all the four sides and they were looking, where is that yogi? Finally, there in that Asteshwaran, sometimes called Yogiran. Very beautiful, dark, cool place, even in the hottest summer. So thick forest is there, it's always cool and beautiful place. So Lord Shiva was sitting there, so all the gopis they came and they saw him and they said, Chalo yogi nandabhavami ismat mahulave, baki lalaku nandabhavami tutarayam dharave. They come on yogi nandabhavami, they said, oh man, come on, you just take back this nazar, with evil eye, you stop this, you clear this guy. So Lord Shiva, they brought him here, he came, so then Maria Soda, she opened the door, Nandananda, he saw Lord Shiva standing there, he smiled. So then Maria Soda, she slammed the door, and then again Lala began crying. Nanda Baba, you got your darshan, now you take back your mother, you stop this crying. And Lord Shiva, he said, only one way to stop this Lala from crying. So how? He said, with your Lala's foot will come on my head, then his crying will be cured. This nazar will go away. And Maria Soda said,
stop! It's you! Me!
Maria Soda said, me. For those of you who don't know Hindi, me means no. And all the gopis, what did they say? They said, ha! For those who don't know Hindi, ha means yes. I have personally witnessed phone conversation, whole conversation was he, ha. He, ha. 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 He, ha. He. Acha, acha, acha. Ji, 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 ji. He, ha. He, ha. Namaskar. So how it is? Yes. So all the gopis said?
Ah.
What did they say?
Ah.
And what did you all say?
Ah.
Me. And all the gopis said?
Ah.
So the hard one. So then, Nadi Sola, she lifted up Nandalala. Nandalala, he put his foot on Lord Shiva's head. The lady Lord Shiva, he just began to dance. He's not Raj, he began to dance. And Lala, he just began to laugh. He was so happy to see Lord Shiva. So Mother Shiva, she was so pleased. She saw, you know, you see the little children laugh. You know, there's such a special Maharaj. Then I was describing this sweetness of this Vasarya Raj. When the parents see the child laugh, it is so sweet. So Mother Shiva, she became so happy. She told Lord Shiva, she said, Where yogi nanda bhavani, bijle maatron kije. Jab yogi nanda bhavani, tattat maasan kije. And she was just saying, here in nanda bhavani, bijle maatron, you become a bijbhati na, you do your better ass. And remember, if you come in nanda bhavani, when everyone lala cry, then tattat maasan, you come and give you darshan. So the Lord Shiva, he told her, I will stay, but two conditions. This is not unconditional devotional service. Two conditions are there. So she said, what is that? He said, whenever you bathe your lala, then you bring that bath water and you pour it on my head. And whenever you feed your lala, then you bring that uchis, those remnants, to me, and let me take those remnants from his place. So this is a system how to worship the Devi Devata. First we offer the bowl to Krishna, then we offer Mahaprasada to all the different Devi Devata. So that system is going on. Maharaj was telling me, distribute that to all the, that Mahaprasada they distribute. Actually it's not a fact, since I live here I know what happens. There was one little Muslim boy who was right down behind here. He sneaks up here every day and he steals that Mahaprasada of Lord Shiva. So, then as Maharaj mentioned, in a few days, 28th, like Gopashtami day is there. That is a big festival here in India. So like Gopashtami, what happened was that just before that, we saw just a few days ago, we were celebrating that Giriraj day. So Krishna lifted that Govardhan hill. Then after that, all the cowherd boys, they began to laugh and joke with him. Because that time he was just taking out the cows. So they all said, hey, you're just going to take out, you're a big man now, you lifted up the hill, you're just going to take out the cows, or you're going to take out the cows? Huh? You're a big man, can you just take out the cows now? They were all just, you know, how little children are when they get, find something that really hurts you, you know, then they just, yeah, there's a lala, he was just getting so upset, they're all teasing him. Aha, you're a big man, are you just taking out the cows now? So that morning, Nandanandan, he didn't get out of bed. He's got his Kali Kamri, his black blanket, that black blanket, same black blanket that Radharani was lying on that first day in Ravel when we heard that pastime. She was lying in a little basket with a black, how that, that's another whole pastime, how that black blanket came to Nandanandan. But anyway, you always see that picture of Krishna with this little black cape. That is that Kali Kamri, that was the blanket on which Radharani was sleeping. So he was sleeping with that completely covered over his head. The servant goes, she tried to wake him up in so many ways. She went to Mother Yasoda and said, Lala doesn't want to get up. And Mother Yasoda, she came in and said, Lala, what's the matter? Come on, all your friends are waiting. Get up, get up. What's the matter? You got fever? And she tried to feel his head. You got stomach ache? You got headache? What's the matter, Lala? Come on, get up. You didn't sleep? You had bad dreams? What's the matter, Lala? Allez, Lala, come on, get up. What's the matter? So then Lala said, all my friends are making fun of me because I'm only taking out the cows. I'm going to take out the cows. If I can take out the cows, then I get up. Otherwise, I'm not getting up. So many authorities to do. So she called Gargarishi, and Gargarishi said, well, today's Gopastami, this is a very auspicious day. Why not? So then she made some type of festival. Because in our Vedic Sanskriti, Vedic culture, whenever there's change in the life, just like we have birthdays there, or the beginning of the studies, reheffivation, we enter our house, vivaha, whenever there's change in the life, there's some type of festival, isn't there? It's like your birthday. You ask your father or your grandfather what they did. The pandit used to come, they would do some havan, they would Ramayan path or Gita path or some Nam Sankirtan was there. And now what do we do? Happy birthday to you, happy birthday. Our Vedic Sanskriti is going away. Then in Vedic culture, whenever it changes in the life, we call for a pandit, we do some Nam Sankirtan, Gita path, Bhava path, something. Spiritualism. So Mother Yasoda, she made a very special festival. So in that festival, when she gave Nandalala some shoes and umbrella. And Lala says, Are Maya? What is this? And Lala, now you're going to take the cow and say, look, we're very far in the forest. There's so many thorns there. And so many rockets there. Which hurts your lotus feet. So you please take this chapel. And there, sun is coming, very hot. Now it is just Kartik time, and it is not. You come here, Maharaj was explaining how hard it gets. It will become, you take umbrella. And Lala said, and Maya, for my cows, and for my cows, you're going to give shoes? You're going to give shoes to my cow, and umbrella for my cow? I don't know, why should I get shoes and umbrella for your cows? You don't know Maya? The cow is very sacred. Are Lala, why is the cow sacred? You don't know Maya? Cow is very sacred, Maya. Just like I live in the hearts of all of my devotees, so within the body of a cow, all the 33 crore demigods are living there inside. He's very sacred, Maya. Anyway, Lala, I don't care. I'm not going to get shoe and umbrella for all you to buy the lives of cows. What am I going to get? You figure that you're all scientists. You figure 9 lives and 4 shoes and who's going to carry umbrella. Anyway, I'm not going to get shoes and umbrella for your cows. Okay, Maya, then you keep it with you. If my cow is going to go barefoot, then I'm going to go barefoot. If my cow is going without chata, without umbrella, then I'm going without umbrella. So in this way, this dust of brush we've been describing, Nandananda, he walked around this dust of brush completely barefoot. Now Sanatana Goswami, in one commentary, he mentions this particular pastime, and he reveals another part of this, that in the night time, when the cows, they heard Nandananda is going to go barefoot, then the cows with their hard hoofs, they went all night long and smashed all of the stones and pebbles and everything into this very, very soft dust, this brudge. Actually, we would have had time at Barsana. If you go behind Barsana to Uchagan, there it's just like Johnson & Johnson's baby powder. So soft. So sweet. When we're on Brudge Moon, the Prickle, we just cry. We have to walk on this asphalt and dirt and this rock roads they make, but when you walk on this rudge, it is so soft, and that there they have the nicest, sweetest, soft. All the cows, they smashed. All, they were so loving to Krishna, they smashed it all into very, very soft powder. So anyway, there's so many millions of stories we could tell, and this place is filled with millions of stories, but it's getting late, and I think we should go on the roof. We'll get, without going on Brudge Moon to Prickle, we'll get whole Brudge Moon to Prickle from the roof of here. We'll try to explain just little tiny bits of things from the roof. It may be a little difficult, but we'll try our best. But you just see all around Golok Dham. This is Golok Dham all around. And this Braja Dham and this Golok Dham is no difference. Oh, Nanda ke lala ki, ki si Krishna Balao Manu Maya ki.
Hare Krishna, where is the sound system?
Sound system.
Are bhai, sound system wala
le aao. Nah, alright, we got some.
Oh, you don't mind
this?
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, where's my guy?
So I'll just describe all the way around. On this side, where we're, if you can see where we're standing, there's a big red building. Behind that red building is Pavan Sarovar. And just beyond Pavan Sarovar, you see one Kun, the little white temple, there in the forest.
Yeah.
This is Moti Kun. So we heard yesterday Maharaj was telling how Krishna planted the pearls. So he planted the pearls at this place. Even now today, creepers come there with little pearl-like fruits. So that is Moti Kun. Now you see one village beyond Pavan Sarovar, one hill is there, water tank. This is Gendakor Gram. This is where Nandalala and all the cowherd boys would play Genda, Baal. So this is Gendakor Gram.
Is that the one with the water tank?
Yeah, with the water tank. Now, let's see, where is... Where's our... All the funders are getting their money. All right. So we see one village in the distance. You see some houses in the forest there.
Yeah.
This is... That's actually Rajasthan there. This is Mehranagram. This is the maternal house of Mother Yasoda. She's from this place. Her father's name is Sumukha Gop. And he got his daughter, Yashoda, married with Nanda Maharaj. So this is Mehranagram. And you see one little bluish-white, couple of bluish-white buildings. This is where we'll go for lunch. This is Brindakund, our little ISKCON temple here in Nandagram. Now, way over here, you see one white building, temple tower in the forest there. This is Kokilavan. Every Saturday, 10,000, 20,000 villagers come to that place. It's Shani is there, Saturn. Well, you just have to... I'll just explain the places and you go around. Then we can't see everything at once. And then way over on this side, behind this building where I'm standing, you can't see. But this, you'll see one small hill. That is Javat, house of Abhimanyu, Jatila, and Kutila, where Radharani is staying right now. This time of year she's staying there at Javat. And this hill here is known as Charan Pari, because here, as Maharaj described, the footprint of Lord Krishna is melted into the stone. Perhaps if we have time, we'll go and see that footprint. It is still there, a very tiny temple is there. This is Charan Pari. And just beyond Charan Pari, you see one forest. This is Paniharikund. As you've seen, that all everywhere we go, the water is always very salty. But in this, all the gopis used to go there, and they got very, very sweet water in that place. Now, Govardhan, you can't see from here. Well, there you can see Barsana. Backside is Barsana. And in between, you see one little black temple tower standing up there. This is called Sanket. This is a very, very sacred forest. Sanket means signal. From there, it is equidistant practically between Nandagram and Barsana. So they used to sometimes, with different colored smoke, with mirrors in the sun, and with candles, and so many ways they used to send signals back and forth to Nandagram, between Nandagram and Varsana, where exactly the pastimes will take place. This is a very sacred place, Sanket. You see one little black temple tower just in between us, beyond that lake. You see one big lake that's not ordinarily there. You see one little black tower, temple tower there's Sanket Bihari. Now, if you wander around to the other side, I don't suggest walking across this gap here. You can come around this way. On the other side, you'll see one very large road going off to the... away from Nandagram. This is the Akur Gaman Mark. This is the Akur Gaman Mark. That place, that fateful road where Akur came and took. That is the old road to Mathura. You'll see one road up in this far corner of from where we're standing, opposite corner from where we're standing. You'll see one road is there. Just beside that road, you'll see one temple in Hindu. This is Lalita Kund. Very, very beautiful kund is there. All times of the year, it's very cool and dense forest is there. Always like springtime in that place. And Lalita makes so many wonderful arrangements for Krishna in that place. And beyond that is Uddhav Kyari. We've been hearing a lot about Uddhav. So this is that place, Nandagam, where Uddhav, he came here with message for the gopis. Now, there used to be a beautiful, beautiful forest filled with kadamba trees. Now, even the last one, about 2 years ago, he disappeared. But it used to be beautiful, beautiful forest. Now it's plastically flooded, otherwise we would have gone there today. So this is the place where Uddhav brought the message to the gopis, and he was completely astonished when he saw how Radharani had a conversation with a bumblebee, and then he realized, these gopis, every one of us, we're all day long, we're just trying to remember Krishna, we're chanting 16 rounds, following 4 regular principles, going to Mangalartik when we don't go out too late on Prakrama, and we're doing all these things, just trying to remember Krishna, and half the time, not even half, most of the time, we're not even thinking of Krishna. And Uddhav, he saw these gopis, they were saying, we don't even talk about this Krishna, why do you talk about something else? He saw, he was amazed. These gopis, even they want to forget about Krishna. We're trying so hard to remember, chanting 16 rounds, even chanting extra rounds, doing so many things, but still we can't. And gopis say, we don't want to remember him, but still they're remembering him. He was simply astounded. So this is Uddhav Kyari. Beautiful kadamba trees there. Their leaves was just like dona, this leaf cup. So they say, kadam patke dona dadapiye sham shilona. Kadam patke dona dadapiye sham shilona. And then, as long as we're on this side, then you'll see some, just on the opposite side of the road from Uddhav Kyari, you'll see some very tall eucalyptus trees. That is the Nanda Betak, where Nanda Maharaj used to sit and wait in the afternoon until he would see one cloud. You know what cloud? When the cows come, they kick up so much dust it makes a cloud. So when he saw that cloud, then he knows, oh, Nanda Nandan is coming. And nearby there is also one kund, that is Yasoda kund. I believe we're going to go there, so I won't say much about that. And down below, on this side, you see Surya kund, where Surya did tapasya to get darshan of Lord Krishna. On this other side, there's Krishna kund, another place where Krishna dug out this kund with his flute. There's also Moor Kund, another place where Krishna was dancing like peacock. That is down in this corner, where, behind this building where I'm standing. You see these two little kunds there. Beyond that, you'll also see some tall trees in a forest and a little temple structure. That is Tirkadam. So far, the reports I've got that the road is not so bad, so we may go there in the afternoon. And nearby that, on the right side of Tirkadam, there's a very tiny forest you can see, very dense forest. That is the Asheshwar Van, where Lord Shiva was meditating as a yogi, like that. So this way, all around, so many wonderful places are there. You can name so many places. But it's very hot up here, so you just go around and just take darshan of this Golok Dham. You're getting Brajmala Prakrama without walking hardly anywhere. Ashay Sharban. Hare Krishna. Itarkadam or Ashay Sharban, Javat. Down here, Krishna Kund. More Kund. No, this is underground. The Kurgaman Marg, this yellow road here. And then Lalita Kund. And this, you see where the big flooded area, this is Uddhav Kyari.
My daughter.
Right in front of you, this straight yellow road. This is a Kurgaman Marg.
Infamous road. Then with these tall trees, you go up these trees there, this is Nandabeta. And over here, little flooded, last flooded area is Yasodakund. The last close by.
You see this forest that's completely flooded on opposite side, great big huge forest. This is Udhavkyari. This is the road, this yellow road going straight off into the distance. This is the old road to Mathura.
Gargamuni recommended to Nanda Maharaj that he worship Lord Narasimhadev and Lord Varahadev, the deity form, in order to protect Sri Krishna from all dangers. These two murtis you see in the temple, Lord Narasimha Bhagavan and Sri Varahadev Bhagavan, were personally worshipped by Sri Nanda Maharaj here in Nandagaon. Hare Krishna.